You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 10 minutes after 11 South African time, it's time for the Bliss of Marriage. Every Tuesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that's part one. And every Wednesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that's part two. With myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. Well, today is the 11th of Jumad al-Ula, 1441. Which is also the 7th of Jan 2020. Our engineer is Brother Lokolo. To all the listeners out there, any questions you have on your mind on the bliss of marriage, you know, you just need to send us a message on our WhatsApp on 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Let's welcome the listeners, of course, our local, national, and international, and of course, Sirius FM. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa lana jazakallahu khair. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This morning, Fajr time, we received the news that the senior alim of South Africa, Maulana Abu Bakr Nanabai, passed on, and we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I spoke to his son after Fajr, and they confirmed that the Janaza Salat will be at Warrington at 1 o'clock after the Zuhur Salat. We make dua to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that Allah Ta'ala grants Maulana Abu Bakr Nanabai Rahimahullah, who was 70 years old, Jannatul Firdaus, grant his family Sabre Jameel. He was, mashallah, a person who was very, very much involved in the work of Dawat and Tabligh. And may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grant him the highest, highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen, Ustad, to the dua. Ustad, let's go to the question. A sister wants to know from Lanesia, what should be the right age of getting married, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When one studies Bukhari Sharif, the most authentic hadith compilation, in there we find the hadith recorded wherein the Master Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya ma'ashara shabab, O you group of youngsters. So youngsters will mean 17, 18, 19, like that. So man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, whosoever has the financial capacity of getting married, you should get married, because for it will be a benefit for you. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ, then you will keep your gaze down and protect your private part. The hadith is authentic in Bukhari Sharif. If we study the Seerah Mubarakah and the life history of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, the Ladli, the most beloved child and daughter of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was 15 years 5 months old when she married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So my advice to you parents, you should get your daughters, your sons married when they are 18, 19, 20, as soon as possible. Because if you get them married when they are too young, when they are 14, 15, 16, then they are very, very nadan and naive and simple-minded, that the husband might just shout the wife and then she will say she wants to go home, because today our daughters and sons are so pampered and spoiled. So they need to be mature, and they need to be mentally mature as well, because marriage is not always a bed of roses. Sometimes there are thorns also with those roses. So you will have duk and suk, you will have the vicissitudes, the ups and downs of life. So therefore, you need to act responsibly. And you, the boy also, you should have some finances, because when you get married, then roti kapra makan, you have to provide the shelter, food, clothing. All these necessary expenses will be your responsibility, even if your wife is a millionaireess and very, very wealthy. So therefore, both parties should try to lead a simple life, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will grant them barakah if our intention is clear. Almighty Allah has enshrined and mentioned this in Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse number 31-32, open, that is got to do with nikah. Iyakunu fuqara yughnihimullahu min fadli, that if they get married and they are poor, Almighty Allah will enrich them out of His grace and mercy.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Sister wants to know, Ustad, what's the role model of a wife and the role model of a husband, and who brings the rozi at home? Because my husband says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that women should work as well, like how Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Ustad, anonymous sister from Boxburg.
Both parties are trying to use the Sharia and slant it in their favor for their own ulterior motives and hidden agenda. Obviously, we answer the questions as the questions are posed to us. So yes, it is a one-sided story. So to say that the wife must work, now that is incomplete. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the beloved son-in-law of the Master alayhi salatu salam, you will be like the foreign minister. All the work outside you will do, O Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. You, my beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, everything in the house you will do. So when you say Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha is to work, so you should not confuse it that like today's women going around with their car like a taxi, going from here to there to there and doing work and what have you. So in Islam, all that is unacceptable. Yes, a woman works at home, so that is acceptable and encouraged as well. And remember, if she's doing home industry, all that is fine, with the permission of her husband. And the husband is the one who must be the breadwinner. He must provide for his wife. Yes, that's a different issue. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innakum tunsarun wa turzaqoon bidwafaikum, that because of the weak people in your homes, that your wife, your children and so forth, so Almighty Allah will give you, assist you, Allah will give you an risk and sustenance. So that is what Almighty Allah has promised everybody. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا لَلَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creation on this earth, but Almighty Allah took the responsibility to sustain them, nourish them. But we have to make the effort and we have to strive. We can't be sitting on our laurels and thinking of Hadi. So remember that, O esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, both parties. Therefore, the Quran Sharif uses this wonderful language, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, that you, the husbands, you are the garments for the wives, and the wives, you are the garments and the clothing for the husband. So marriage is a partnership, not a dictatorship. Today, many Muslim husbands don't understand this. They want to use it as a master-slave relationship. That is wrong. Remember that you have rights as a husband, you have rights as a wife, and study Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's interaction with the honorable wives. Study the Sahaba radiallahu anh, their interaction with the wives. So there must be peace, harmony, tranquility, serenity at home. You don't start civil war and fighting and speaking harshly. So there must be that love and feeling, empathy. So all that is required between husband and wife. And then du'as, that's very, very important. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Both husband and wife should be reading, and not just with the tongue, from the bottom of the heart. Read, ya wadudu, ya Wadud, abundantly, ya Allah, you are the creator of love. So bring that love and that bond between husband and wife. So then you will find that people go to Mauritius, people go to Malaysia, people people go to Durban, Cape Town for honeymoon. So Islam will give you a long, long honeymoon. 20, 30, 50 years you'll be married, and yet Almighty Allah will keep the spark in that marriage.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, this is from Durban. What should be done if a sister, Ustad, makes nikah with a man? Everything took place over the phone. The Molana and the Karisab, everything was recorded as well. Ustad, is it valid, not valid?
It's not valid the way the question is posed. What they needed to do is, I don't know if they did it like this. If the boy was there in Durban, the girl in Johannesburg, or vice versa, and everything just done by phone, then it's not valid like that. What they needed to do is that the boy's party is in Johannesburg, the girl's party is in Durban, or vice versa. Then one party had to appoint a wakil. Wakil means a representative. Molana, you perform the nikah of ABC to XYZ. I perform nikah. So what happens in the masjid? That the boy is there, the girl, her father is there, the witnesses are there, everybody is there. But the lady herself is not there. She appointed a wakil, a representative, whether it be her father, her uncle, her brother. So once we ask the questions, we ask the wakil, the representative, have you taken permission from the lady, daughter of so and so, that she will be married to ABC, and is she happy, and the mahar, the marital gift, is so much? Then she says yes. Then we ask the boy, the husband to be, is he happy to marry this lady in the presence of these witnesses, and the mahar is so much? So in that case, same thing supposed to happen, that if the boy was here in Johannesburg, the girl in Durban, so let's say if the boy appointed the wakil, then that wakil supposed to be, wakil means representative, in Durban, and then the Maulana Qarisab will ask the questions there in Durban. And if, remember, the girl appointed the wakil, then the boy will be here in Johannesburg, and then the person solemnizing performed the nikah will question them. That is how you do it, not just directly by phone, because remember, today people can impersonate, and there can be so many other issues. So that type of nikah on the phone would not be valid, not acceptable.
Sister wants to know, how do I tell the Molana and the Karisab is not valid, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember, you don't have to tell them nothing, that you and your husband, you are now there together. Just go to some Molana, some Imam, and then just re-perform your nikah, and in that way there, that you do, you rectify everything now.
Ustad, should we believe in Milad Islamically? If yes, and if someone doesn't believe in it, then should we marry them, Ustad?
Remember that if you are speaking about the Milad of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you're speaking about the Milad of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam and so forth, so remember the honorable birth of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a shadow of doubt was a great, great bounty and favor of Almighty Allah jalla wala to this ummah and to humanity and the entire creation. But to say that we must start celebrating birthdays, we must do like the non-Muslims, that now we have a cake and we have curtain, we have candles and all these type of things, so that is unacceptable. That in Islam we are told to believe in Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are told to have the greatest love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the creation. First we love Almighty Allah, thereafter we love Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we love our own parents, spouses and children and siblings. Then we have ittiba'un nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to emulate the master alayhi salatu salam. And then we have ita'atu rasul and ita'atu nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be obedient. Then we have tabligh, that we propagate the message of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We read abundant durood sharif, salawat upon nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is what is required every day of the year, every season of the year. Not that one day we make and then we are now hearing a lecture and then we make Allahu Akbar and sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Wasallam, and the Fajr time we are missing, and we are not there, and so no. So that type of celebrating, like how the Christians, they say, they are celebrating Christmas 25th December, which is a lie and a fabrication. Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, was not born, and his Milad Mubarak did not take place on the 25th December. So that is to pull the wool over the eyes of the Christians, and the bankers and the businessmen are laughing all the way, because now the millions and billions of people are buying, and consumerism is taking place. So the problem is today that there's no, very little yu'minuna bil ghaib, that very few people believe in the unseen comparatively. Today the religion is, and the cult is among the masses and the millions, yu'minuna bil jayb, how you can make a quick buck, how you can sell and become a missionary, and not a mercenary, and not a missionary. Islam says you must become missionary. You propagate the deen. People today become mercenary. They sell the deen. So you find Christians selling the deen. You find Jews selling the deen. You find that Muslims selling the deen. So that is what is required, that we propagate the deen for the love of Almighty Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not that we are selling the deen. So that is the biggest crime, one of the big crimes committed nowadays.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. 26 minutes after 11, you are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Of course, we welcome the listeners, the national and local national listeners, and of course, the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Sister wants to know from Johannesburg, Ustaz. She says, "Dear Mufti Sahab, please hear me out. My daughter is 26. She studied, and the boy that she wants to get married to is 33 years old, Mufti Saab, and they both eloped on the 5th of December. It's almost a month now. And the boy came home to propose to my daughter, but my husband said no because he was a drug addict, but he's changed now. So they decided to elope. Who do you blame, Ustad? Me and my husband, now we're both fighting. I want my daughter back. I don't know where she is. Please advise me. Anonymous sister, Johannesburg, Ustad.
I don't know, when you say that she studied, do you mean that she studied in the college, in the university? And I think that is what you really mean. And that is how they eloped. And then he and she, they started making their...
The university,
they confirmed it. And then you say they started eloping and becoming very serious on the 5th of December. So that is 1 month ago. We say just 1 month, 1-2 days. So nevertheless, and now he came to propose. But you admit and confess that he was on drugs and so forth. And now your husband, he said no. And I agree with him. But now who is to blame? Obviously, you as parents are to blame. We told you 100 times, 1,000 times, do not send your daughters, especially to the university. You know the environment there. You know the boyfriend, girlfriend going there. 90% the woman will lose her haya and her shame and modesty. 50% she will lose her virginity. And 5, 10, 20% she will lose her iman and Islam. And you yourself can see, you as parents, it is now already today the 7th of January 2020. You yourself are admitting you don't know where your daughter is. So whose bed she is sleeping is, how much drugs are involved. Now who is to blame for all this? You tell me. So you must remember, she is committing major sins. But how she is guilty, sister, mother, with due respect, I have to say that you and your husband both are guilty. And remember, you have to bring your daughter back. He will use her, and after using her, throw her away like a condom, because he is, remember, on drugs. And once a person is on drugs, you go to the various rehabs. I've been to several rehabs. I always ask the Maulana, the social worker, the person in charge in private, I ask him, be honest to me, what is your success rate? And you will find the answer will be between 20-25%, maximum 30%. So less than 1/3, you must remember, totally recover. 70%, 80% or more, they relapse and they go back to that evil and heinous crime or in the scourge of drugs. So therefore, so now your daughter is gone. Cry to Almighty Allah. What good now I'm asking you, is that BA and that MA and this degree and that degree, that last night your daughter was sleeping, this is one night, how many other nights there was sleeping with that person who was involved in drugs, and maybe both of them were taking drugs last night and so forth. So look at the ramifications, look at the consequences, and then we are saying we are Muslim. Remember that in the Quran Sharif, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, He mentions, Allah Himself tells us, Azaniyatu wa Zani, Fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalda, that when the boy and girl, they eloped, and then they slept, they committed fornication, you must take them to public place and whip them 100 lashes. Wala ta'khudhkum bihima ra'fa. Allah Ta'ala's deen is filled with mercy and compassion. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the only, the exclusive rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to every creation of Allah. But here in this text and context, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 2, in the 18 supara, 18 juz, Allah Jalla wa'ala is saying, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَعْفَى, don't show them mercy and compassion. You punish them 100 lashes each. وَلْيَشْهَدْ أَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, a group of Muslims should be there to witness it. So we have to make some people an example, and remember that will be a deterrent for the entire community and society. Now you mother, you father, we can empathize with you, we can sympathize with you, that now you are crying, all these type of things, but deep down you must know that you lit the fire and now you are seeing all the results of it. So both of you have to take the blame, but لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, never become disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا, verily Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. So cry to Allah, try and make contact with Him or with her, and remember, convince her that this person is not for you, because see what he did already. He was on drugs, he took you away, and your daughter, like a fool, she fell for her tricks, for his tricks, and now they're gone. How can you have barakah, blessing, and all these type of things when you run away? There is totally no barakah. From A to Z, everything is haram, a satanic system. So therefore, Islam taught us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not even go near fornication and adultery. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُشْتَكَى وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Remember this, what this mother did now. We say, Jazakallah khair, mother. But it's not an isolated incident, believe you me. So many incidents of this nature, some come on the airwaves, others just try and hide it and conceal it. So we can complain to Almighty Allah, we cry to Allah, Ya Allah, give us the guidance, Ameen. Give our children the guidance, Allah. Otherwise slowly, slowly, the haya and shame is disappearing, and the virginity is already gone, and you must remember that slowly, slowly the iman will be eroded, and people will die as murtad and out of the fold of Islam. We know all these things here, but we always feel it can never happen to my son, my daughter. Maru poiro, oh ho ho, I do bo di bo harut poiro che, mari poiri bo hari che. This is disgrace from Allah when we play with the deen of Allah. May Almighty Allah make satari, cover and conceal our vices and sins.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. You make my heart sad, Ustad. The upper is crying and she says, Mufti Saab, I just want my daughter back. Any specific dua I can read? My husband says he don't want to ever see her. Please, Mufti Saab, the mother is crying, Ustad.
Remember, that is not telling the daughter you don't want to see her. This is the time you have to bring her back. Read Surah Wadduha, read Surah Lilafikuration, and cry to Allah, Ya Allah, we made a mistake, bring our daughter back, and inshallah we will change, our daughter will change. Allah Jalla Wala is Ghafoorur Rahim. So don't make that mistake, I don't want the back. You're letting your emotions get the better of you, and then the things will go from bad to worse, Allah forbid.
Allahu Akbar. 26 6 minutes to 12. I see Ma in World Bank wants the podcast. I see Ma as well in Newcastle also wants the podcast to start, I think, regarding this question that we pose. So inshallah, maybe Ustad should advise the listeners how to get the podcast to start.
Yes, alhamdulillah, our brother Lukolo is here, engineer. He did an excellent job last night also in the Q&A. He stayed with me, yeah, late till night, 10:30, and so 10:40 he went, and then 10:45 I sent out the Q&A podcast last night, part 1 and part 2. Allah Ta'ala reward him, also our brother Lukolo. So inshallah, today, after the bliss of marriage, he will do the podcast and send it to me, inshallah. Then we will send it out, and then Mauna Arafat will send it out as well. And in that way, our aim is to teach you through Islam, according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and Allah Ta'ala have mercy on us and the Ummah and Muslimah throughout the world.
Ustad, Sister Zulfa, I think you do remember her, Ustad.
Gee, the lady from Durban who embraced Islam.
Gee, she's listening to you, Ustad. She wants to know, what is the purpose of an Islamic marriage certificate? Sister Zulfa, listening to you right now.
Sister Zulfa, remember, we live in a Western world where papers, certificates, documents become important. You know, it is not an Islamic requirement. You get married today, next week, and there is two male witnesses, and you are happy, and you got permission from your father or brother or whoever, and in that way you and your husband got married properly, and now you don't need a certificate, but tomorrow you have to go for Hajj, tomorrow you're going for a visa, and so forth and so on. So your surname is different, his surname is different. So they will say, what is your relationship? You say you are married. So where is the documentation, the nikah certificate to prove that Mr. ABC is married to Mrs. XYZ? So it is just for practical purposes, and it will make life easy when you are traveling and so forth. Husband passes away or wife passes away. Now the issue comes of inheritance. People want to contest the will. They say, we don't know if you are the wife. They can say that we don't know he is the husband. So many issues come about like this. So especially when people, you know, their surnames and all that are different. So therefore, for all practical purposes, it is useful that you have the nikah certificate, but it is not an Islamic requirement.
Allahu Akbar. 23 minutes to 12, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I got a message from Ba, but inshallah, after the nasheed or the ad break, inshallah, we will be coming back with The Bliss of Marriage. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
20 minutes to 12, you are tuning in listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yes, the bliss of marriage. 0847863132. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba and the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and company. Somebody says here, Mulana, is very, very touching this morning on the bliss of marriage. Ba wants to know, Ustad, if his daughter happens to do that, can you bless both of them instead of living in sin, although the parents are not happy, Ustad?
Remember, in a case like that, where the couple have run away, and now they say, okay, they will return after 1 day, 1 week, and so forth, but please, you must give us the blessing. So we also will tell the husband and wife, the father and mother of the daughter, that, you know what, you saw what happened. He already maybe that slept with your daughter, and Allah alone knows what else happened. So rather just give permission and give your blessings and so forth. So we also will say these type of things. But the issue is not that in the beginning. The issue is this, that why did we send our daughter to the university? You know that what is the environment. We are not against our sister daughter studying. We are against the place where she goes. Mm. She can study via a correspondence, then we will allow that. But you deliberately wanted to go there and say no, that she can learn better there and all these type of things. So the Muslim thinking today, the name is Maryam, but the thought process is of Mary. The name is Bilal, but the thinking is just like Bali. So that's why we are totally against that. We must remember this. So we also, as a last resort, will say, pray, give the blessings instead of your daughter living in sin, and every moment Allah's curse is upon you. So that is what we also will advocate as a last resort.
Ustaz, let's go to Alberton. Husband and wife are both arguing. They want to see who is wrong, who is right. Husband wants to know that regarding the general who has been killed in Iran. The husband says, Mufti Sahab, could you please elaborate? Wife says we should make dua for the person in Iran. Ustaz.
Remember, he was a top general in Iran, and he was killed there in Iraq by the Americans and so forth. And we know that the world media today, some will say the Americans are right, some will say they are wrong, and all this. For us, it's very easy. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we say what has happened, one shaitan killed the other shaitan. So you must remember who gave the right to the Americans that you can just go and assassinate a person in another country and so forth. So nobody gives you that right, but because America today has the veto power and they feel they can do whatever they want to, they can just start a war, and they have all they are, you understand, fighting power and strong army. So obviously that is unacceptable according to international law as well. On the other side, you have the Iranians, the Shias. Therefore, this morning, any one of you, I was very, very busy, and I sent it out to thousands, and then Mona Arafat sent it out to thousands of people. I just gave you one example of what the Shias, the La'anahumullah, they are non-Muslims, and when a person embraces Shiaism, what he has to say. So that person, that shaitan, that ayatullah of theirs, that leader of theirs, is telling that person, say after me, that ashhadu, Allah forbid, that I testify, that Allah's curse must be upon Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Aisha and Hafsa, Allah forbid. So when you become a Shia, you have to curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa. And then in the second sentence, the shaitan tells that person that say, abra'u ilallah wa rasulihi, that I cut off ties from all these people, and I make Allah say, ya Allah, I'm announcing and telling you that I'm severing my ties. I've got nothing to do with Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Aisha, Hafsa. And so these are the biggest shaitans you can get, the Shias. Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon them. Allah Ta'ala speaks of Sahaba in Surah 9, verse 100. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says for them there's Jannah. Let me give you one point. Just one. There are many. And if you want to hear more about it this morning, after I did the program with you, Mauna Arafat, then I went for Fajr, and then we heard about Mauna Abu Bakr Nanabai Rahimahullah. So I announced it there in the masjid, because every day I give them some advice here in the Jami Masjid when I'm here, that one hadith, one Quranic ayat and so forth, and some advices. Then I told them, see, Tuesday night is tafsir, but tonight I won't be having tafsir. I want you to understand this murder and assassination that took place, that both parties are shaitan, and we got nothing to do with any one of them. And I want to explain to you that you must not get confused the issues here. Shias are shaitan, the American regime also are shaitan, and both of them are fighting, so nothing to do with Islam and so forth. So let me give you one example of this top so-called general of Iran. You know, when in Afghanistan the Taliban took power, the Shias, La'anahumullah, they are non-Muslims. You must be clear on that issue. He, the same top general, played a leading role to go and fight and work against the Taliban there in Afghanistan. That's his crimes. When the Muslims, the Sunnis, they stood up against Bashar Assad, the Pakka Alawi Kafir Shia, that the leader till today of Syria, he was the architect of slaughtering our Muslims there in Syria, the men, women and children, and getting the Sunni woman, remember, raped. He, the same person, he was the architect of that. So remember his crimes against the Ahlu sunnah are too many to mention. And remember that it must be a munafiq or a hypocrite who says he's a sunnah, is a sunni, and belongs to the Ahlul Sunnah, but he calls a person like this, who Allah Jalla Wala has cursed, who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cursed, and such people, you call them martyrs. I'm amazed. Remember, let me make another statement. I'm live on air, on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and I'm live on the Sirius FM. And remember, we are indebted, and we say Jazakallahu Khairan to our brother Faisal Asmal and company, that so more and more people can hear that today in various venues, people are going to have, today, tomorrow, and whenever, there to prove that these people are martyrs. Any person, remember, you associate, you say you're a Sunni, but you associate with the Shias, you go to them and you start speaking so that you carry favor with them. Remember that in South Africa, I know of some people, I warned them, but they told me I'm talking nonsense. Allah Jalla wa Allah has humiliated them and they have become murtad and out of the fold of Islam. That is what Quran is saying. That is what Quran is saying. Oh, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, wake up from your slumber. I read for you the verse, Surah 9, verse 79. Surah 9, verse 79. Alladhina yalmizun al-muttawwi'in min al-mu'minin. The sababun nuzul, the reason for these verses to be revealed was the 9th year of the Hijrah. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that we will be going from Madinah Munawwara. It is midsummer, June, July, 45, 50 degrees. The dates are smiling with them. The khajur, leave all that. We have to go. 30,000 Sahaba mobilized by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is going to pay for the logistics? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu came and Sahaba contributed. These munafiqeen and hypocrites, this is the ayat revealed, that what they did, that they objected, and they said, that الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُتَّوِّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that you read in the 10th Juz, the 10th Supara, Surah 9, verse 79, those who criticize, the Sahaba who are contributing voluntarily, fis sadaqat, they gave substantial amount, like Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, poor Sahaba brought few dates. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهْدَهُمْ, they mocked them. فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ, they were mocking the Sahaba, criticizing the Sahaba. Allah defends the honor of the beloved students and companions of Master alayhi salatu salam. سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, Allah will mock you. Today you want to say that general is a shaheed. You want to say that the person who murdered the Sunni men and women and children is shaheed. So you are going against Allah's command. So Allah will mock you. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, he and you both will end up in serious trouble and in Jahannam, and there will be a painful, horrible punishment for them. Surah 9, chapter 9, verse 79, in the 10th Juz. Therefore, تحفظ ناموس صحابة واجب ہے. To protect the honor and dignity of the Sahaba is an integral part of our Iman. And we don't care which government is upset with us, which Maulvi Munafiq is upset with us, which person organization is upset. And therefore we kept our name Markaz Sahaba to protect the integrity and honor of the Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of the Master alayhi salatu salam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Takbir, Allahu Akbar, very, very true, Ustad. Wake up from your slumber, O Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I see brother from Woodbank as well, and brother from Lodium says, Mufti Sahab, we really need the podcast. We did not know about the general. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us that we are saying that he is a shaheed, Ustad.
Remember, this is what they do, the media. They exploit the ignorance of the Muslims. Therefore, I say, the Muslim Ummah, today, you need to sift out what is the truth and what is falsehood. Remember, any person who criticizes the Sahaba, there are so many authentic ahadith, I just mentioned two, due to time constraints. Man sabba ashabi, whosoever swears and curses my sahaba, any one of them, then fa alayhi la'natullah wal malaika wal nasi ajma'in, then Almighty Allah's curse, the malaika and angels' curse, and the people's curse is upon that person or that organization and whoever. The hadith is authentic in Tabarani and in Tirmidhi Sharif is mentioned. Idha ra'aytumul ladina yasubbuna ashabi, when you see these people cursing my companions and swearing them, faqulu, then say la'anatullahi ala sharrikum, Allah Ta'ala's curse be upon you for the evil you are perpetrating. Yes, we will send out the podcast, inshallah. Brother Tobela will prepare it and we will broadcast it and send it out. So you contact me 071-888-1184 and we will send it out. That is our aim and our mission, to protect the belief structure of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and to protect the Sahaba's honor and to show to the world that the Shias are kafir out of the fold of Islam.
SubhanAllah. Ustaz Karisab from Springs wants to know that how do we make it well known to everyone around the world regarding this, Ustaz?
Remember, everybody got your cell phone. Everybody, today I sent you that Shia, and with that I put two notes. Those people who swear, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and curse, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, wallahi, this Quran in my hand, they're out of the fold of Islam. And then I put a second clip, and those who are the supporters of such people of the Shias, they are munafiqeen in Islam. And munafiqeen, Almighty Allah revealed the entire surah regarding them. In front they will speak very nice, but in their heart they also have doubts or they have hatred for some sahaba like Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and others. So remember, you also might just land up in Jahannam with the Shias. So think properly which side. To be on the fence, to sit on the fence is an offense. I repeat, to sit on the fence is an offense. And that's a big, big message to our munafiqeen today and hypocrites. And ma'al asafi shadeed, I have to say, whether it is in India, whether it is in the Arab countries, whether it's in South Africa, many maulvis and sheikhs are also there in that category. That they want to speak, but they speak with a forked tongue. Remember, they don't want to upset their donors. They don't want to upset their sponsors. And therefore they compromise with the truth. That's a sign of nifaq and hypocrisy.
Allahu Akbar. I love you, Ustad. I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I love that saying, to sit on the fence is an offense. If anybody wants that video, inshallah, that video clip that my beloved Ustad is saying, you can contact me, inshallah, after the bliss of a marriage. Ustad, if a woman is physically to the point of hospitalization and mentally abused by her husband, is this marriage still a true marriage? Anonymous sister, Ustad.
Remember, in a case like that, sister, what you should have done, or your parents or family, where your husband over the years is abusing you so much, you should report him to the police. He must be sent to prison. He must be made a sample and example. Never does Islam allow that the wife must become a punching bag and so forth. Secondly, go to the ulama, go to the jamiats and so forth, and then say that you want a fasakh on these grounds here. So Islam does not say that even now at this 11th hour where they're going to hospitalize you or they are going to take you to the hospital or clinic or whatever, you should file a complaint against your husband for physical abuse, for this abuse, that abuse. And this is considered a serious crime, at least in South Africa, that against the female gender and all these type of things, violence. And otherwise go to the ulama and apply for a fasakh, annulment of marriage. You don't have to stay in such an abusive marriage.
Subhanallah. I see a brother Riaz, mashallah, from Newcastle, says, Molana, the bliss of marriage is on fire today. It's hot. Everyone is listening at home. Subhanallah. Sister says, yeah, Ustad in Indonesia, hope you are well in the studio there, Mufti Saab. What are my duties to my husband's sisters? And where can one go for marriage counseling, Ustad?
Remember that there is no real duty to your husband's sisters like how you have to another Muslimah, that you show love to them, respect to them and so forth, but you don't have to go and cook for them once a week, or you don't have to do their baking and sewing and all these type of things. All that is the goodness of your heart, the generosity of your heart. There's no such thing that it is your duty. So your husband also cannot impose upon you, you must do this, you must do this for his sisters and so forth. Yes, for his parents, and that is different. But remember, they can't impose upon you on daily. He becomes a zalim and oppressor by that way there. So Islam has given everybody rights. So yes, I'm not saying you should not do, you should do, but remember occasionally. Don't let people exploit the situation. Okay, just now my time is running out. We have news. Let me give you the rundown, inshallah. 12 o'clock will be news, inshallah. And then after that, there will be a lecture. And thereafter, 1 o'clock adhan. And then 5 past 1 will be the tafsir of the Noble Quran. And that will be Surah Watin. And we will continue with that. And 1:30 to 2 from the archive, Surah Noor. And then 2 to 3, inshallah, Sheikh Zakaria. Then 3 to 5:30, Brother Yusuf Ali. And 5:30 to 7, inshallah, will be Mawla Khalid Yaqub from the Durban studio. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, will be Mawla Yunus Patel Rahimullah's advices. 8 to 9 tonight will be Mawla Bilal Katrada. With technology watch, mashallah, Mawlana doing sterling work. Allah ta'ala reward Mawla Bilal Katrada. Ameen. Tomorrow, Wednesday night, in our medical file, remember, with Dr. Yusuf Wahid, between 8 and 9, will be Dr. Zubair Dular Khan. MashaAllah, he is a specialist, and he is an ENT, a good friend of ours. He will be the special guest of Dr. Yusuf Wahid tomorrow night, Wednesday night, between 8 and 9, inshallah, in the medical file. Make dua. We live with Iman according to the Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah, and we pass away with Iman, with the love of Almighty Allah, the love of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love for every Sahabi and companion of the Master alayhi wa sallam. And we don't ever have doubt in saying that people who swear and curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, are non-Muslim and out of the fold of Islam. That is our unanimous belief. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us the truth, the tawfiq, to speak the truth and practice on it. MashaAllah, Brother Yusuf Ali is in the studio.
12 o'clock, as you heard, our beloved Fadilatul Ustaz is, MashaAllah, handsome Yusuf Ali, up next with the 12 o'clock news.